Mike Bobo Coaches Show, brought to you by Coors Light. Grab an ice-cold Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford Tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live, the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Here is your host, Brian Roth.
Well, a very good Wednesday evening, and we welcome everybody to the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Yes, indeed. Another college football season is upon us, and we find ourselves once again up at CB and Potts in Fort Collins. It's always great when college football comes around. I'm your host, Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, and indeed, we will be joined by the head football coach at Colorado State, Mike Bobo. It's been an eventful couple of weeks, and the head football coach has just walked in. And he's going to grab a seat. How about one more big round of applause for the football coach at Colorado State, Mike Bobo. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. I really can't tell you how excited I am to be back. I know I moved in here a little bit slowly. My mobility's never been great, but it's a little slower than it was a few days ago. But I'm ecstatic to be back to work today, be back around the guys and the coaches, and to be here tonight with this group of fans as we get ready to open the season 2018.
Absolutely. And again, that season opens coming up on Saturday evening. The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors come into Canvas Stadium. A 5:30 kickoff from Fort Collins. Weather's looking like it's going to be great. Now, most Ram fans understand and know what's been going on around the program for the last 10 or so days. But for those that don't, Mike Bobo has been hospitalized for 10 days with some numbness in your feet. I'm not even going to try to pronounce what the prognosis was.
No, you're
was.
Supposed to. I don't know if I can. I skipped over today in the press conference after practice. Neuropathy?
Yeah, neuropathy. Yeah, peripheral.
Peripheral neuropathy.
Neuropathy.
It's been a challenging 10 days. It's really, you know, it was, you know, a lot of people know I got my knee replaced in the off season, and my knee was feeling great, and, you know, having a great camp, wasn't having swelling in my knee, and really looking forward to, you know, this season. And then the second half of camp, I started to get some numbness in kind of both my lower extremities, and just kept getting worse and worse each day, and then had some in, you know, an upper extremity, and knew something was brewing. And, you know, they admitted me to a hospital after our second scrimmage that Saturday night, and really, you know, immediately had a staff meeting that night and talked to our coaches, said, hey, they admitted me in the hospital. I don't know how long it will be, but hired you to do a job. You know, I expect you to do it. I trust you. I've been extremely proud of those guys the last 10 days. You know, I thought it might be a couple days. You know, it turned into 10 days.
Right.
Thought it was going to be eight. I think I texted Joe Parker and said, hey, we're having a procedure this morning on my foot, and I should be out here sometime this morning. The procedure didn't happen until the afternoon. Didn't get out that night. Then the next day, we didn't get out until 5:45 p.m. So it's been trying, but I've been discharged by the doctors. I'm on a treatment plan right now. On medication, and it's just a matter of how fast some of these nerves come back in my lower extremities. I feel good up top in my hands. Everything mental has been great. I've been able to keep up with the program, watch film, talk to coaches, handle practice schedules and practice scripts. But it's been just a little bit challenging trying to get this, really try a lot of tests that we did. It was really to knock things out, to say it isn't this.
Right.
Some tests that we had to do that are sometimes scary that you don't want to talk about, but everything came back positive. I don't see myself having to do any more tests. It's just a matter of this treatment working, and just glad to be back.
Yeah, man, we're going to keep you out of the hospital, I hope, for the foreseeable future and beyond. I've been asked a million times over the last 2 weeks, hey, what's going on with Coach Bobo? I'm like, I don't know, but the bottom line was this, you know, football takes a back seat when it comes to stuff like that. And And I from my point of view, football didn't matter. It was what was going on with Mike Bobo, the husband, the father, the son. And I know I speak for all of Ram Nation that we are very, very pleased to hear that you're out of the hospital on a personal note. But it's also nice to have the head football coach
and
back
as
well.
I can't say enough about, Joe, our administration, the support, the calls that I got, their thoughts and prayers. It did a lot for me, in the hospital, and it's easier said than done than when you say, hey, put football aside, because I really couldn't, put football aside. But, Joe was great saying, hey, your health is paramount. Let's make sure that we get that under control. And he even came over today and, reiterated, came out to practice to make sure I could come. Are you sure you can come to this show? And, I wanted to be here. I was back at work last night. I got back in town. I had my dad drive me to the office last night, and I was up this morning at 6 in the office for a 7 o'clock meeting, and just good to get back.
Yeah.
It's been a long day. I'm a little tired, but I didn't want to miss out on this, these fans, and talking about this opener.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, 10 days in the hospital in, let's say, May or June is a long time. For a college football coach, 10 days in the hospital in the middle of fall camp, I know it had to kill you. I thought you said something interesting today. One of the reporters here at Colorado State and the media that cover your program, I asked you, what was the hardest part? Was it the 10 days of being in the hospital, or was it being away from the kids and the team? And you said, no question, the hardest part about it was not being around the group of guys.
It's your family. It's not being around my own family. My wife stayed a lot in the hospital, but I miss my kids. They got to come up one day when I was in Denver, and then you miss your extended family, your football team. And then, I got a little emotional when I walked into the team meeting today at 2:15 and saw those guys,
Jordan Vogel said he saw tears in your eyes.
Just like, when I saw, saw my kids when I got home last night. It's emotional when you're not with your family, and that's, two things that's important to me is my family at home and the family of Colorado State football team.
Yep, absolutely. Well, the head football coach is back at his ball club as the season awaiting him. The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors coming up on Saturday evening. We're live at CB and Potts tonight, just getting started. Thanks for joining us on the airwaves. Thanks to everybody that has come out tonight. We're going to take a timeout. Plenty more to come with head football coach at Colorado State. It's the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show right here on the Colorado State Sports Network from Learfield. All right, back we come here. We're live on the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show, and coming to you from CB and Potts. Of course, CB and Potts Sports, great food and frosty handcrafted beers. CB and Potts Restaurant and Brewery is the official Colorado State watch party location in Denver. You can go to the Potts at Westminster off 120th Avenue or Potts in the Tech Center off Greenwood Plaza Boulevard. All right, we are back continuing our conversation with head football coach at Colorado State, Mike Bobo. Great to have Mike back. And Mike released from the hospital last night around 5:30 and went home, saw your kids, and then, hey, you're a football coach. You have a game on Saturday, and it was right into the office for you to meet with your staff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It's a Tuesday. They had a Tuesday practice, which is, install really your first and second down calls, and for one to go in and basically watch as much film as I could with the offensive staff, and walk in with the defensive staff and say hello and see where we were. Got a computer checked out. They didn't have to bring one down to Denver that night, but. Basically come in and see where we're at. I kind of felt like I was slowing the process down when I walked in a little bit, because people were getting up and, happy to see me and everything. But we eventually settled down and got back to work. And, because Tuesday you're getting your first and second down calls finished. You're watching the tape. You're working on your third down calls. You're working on your red zone. There's a lot of work that's got to be done. And, it was just, I've been at the hospital doing it. Now I got to go to the office and do it.
Right. And, you mentioned this as well when you met with the media, but you're really impressed by the way your coaching staff has been able to handle this, because, you guys have a game coming up on Saturday night, yet I know you guys feel like nothing's been missed. You guys are marching along, and you are as prepared as you would be if this ordeal hadn't happened.
Yeah. After that scrimmage, I told you we had a staff meeting and went up and told the coaches, hey, I'm going to get admitted to the hospital. I don't know how long it's going to be, but I hired you to do a job, offensively and defensively and special teams. I expect you to do your job. I trust you. I trust these men I've hired in this room. And, it took longer than I thought. And I think you know, me being able to see the things that they handled allowed them to gain a little more trust in themselves, I think. And we have a new coaching staff, and sometimes you can't really go through that adversity until the season hits. You know, when you have this new coaching staff on defense, we've got some new coaches on offense, and, you know, we were able to have some adversity preseason with me being out 10 days, and I think there's a silver lining that guys had to step up. You know, there had to be more communication that there's going to have to be during the season that had to happen this preseason when I was out on the men's where maybe they couldn't reach me, which I think is going to benefit us this season.
And everybody had to be maybe a little bit more on point over the last 10 days. And,
well, it was good. It was good for everybody. I think I say it all the time. Sometimes when you put in uncomfortable situations, you know, you have to grow. And there were some coaches that were put in some uncomfortable situations. I asked them to step up and handle some things that were my responsibilities, and they did, and they did an outstanding job of that.
Yeah, you know, I was out of practice, and you were in the golf cart, which is a little different for you at practice, but a couple of times I saw the coach maybe defying doctor's orders. I'm not sure if you were or not, getting up out of the cart to make sure you could get a little closer to the action and make sure you got a point across or two.
Yeah, I got up a couple times. A couple things didn't sit well with me at
right.
practice. I just... You know, I got to make sure my feet are working when I get out. I still have some numbness, especially in my right foot. You know, it's almost totally numb. My left foot is really coming back except for the bottom, so that's a good sign. I feel really good about that. But I got to be careful. I had a procedure in my right foot that I'll get some results back here in a week, so that's why I'm wearing this boot. But I just got to be a little careful when I step, you know, and I got to have some coaches around me, but it's hard to sit in that golf cart during practice and watch practice. So I think, you know, each day I'm going to get a little bit better, and each day I'm going to be in that golf cart a little less.
Well, Mike, as head football coach, obviously you've been on the sidelines for Colorado State over the last 3 years. With your condition, with your feet, that obviously is not going to be an option. So you will be going up to the booth on Saturday. But that is a place I know as an offensive coordinator at Georgia you have been familiar with.
Yeah, that's going to be the plan Saturday. I thought, you know, I'd get back and see how I felt this week, but I think that's, you know, where I've got to go this week because of the mobility. There's a lot of action down there on the sideline.
Plays can come at you pretty
quick.
Like I said,
walking in, I don't have the greatest mobility as is, so I'm going to go upstairs. From an offensive play caller, I've been there before, but it's different as a head coach. You've got to handle all aspects, offense, defense, and special teams. I'm going to be on a headset just like I would be on the sideline on a headset, but there will be communication between a defensive coach and an offensive coach and a special teams coach that we're working through the mechanics of right now that will happen game day.
Right. Of course, you'll still be calling the plays. I was asked, if Mike's not there, who's going to call the plays? And I said, probably Mike from the hospital room.
No, we're still working on that.
May not call him.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
You know, we're still talking through that and working through the mechanics of that on who calls the plays. And when I knew something was happening before the second scrimmage, you know, I told, you know, talked to Coach Johnson and told Coach Letson and Coach Cox and had those guys call the plays in the second scrimmage because I knew something wasn't right with me. I didn't know if I'd be back. You know, in a day or two, I didn't know if I'd be back in three or four. And so they've been planning for me, you know, not to be back. And we're going to sit down, and it'll probably be a collaborative effort. But there's been one guy working primarily on the game plan right now, you know, getting his thoughts together to call the game. But, you know, I'll still be heavily involved.
All right, Mike, one final thought on the health side of things, and then we'll move on. But I know Ram fans have really been concerned about what's been going on. But what's the status health-wise for you moving forward? You just keep in touch with the doctors? Do you have to go back to the hospital over the next few weeks?
There's no more test plan.
Okay.
We've had every test. There's one test out that's going to be some confirmation on some diagnosis probably. But I really don't want to get too in detail about that, about the personal health. I know I'm on a treatment plan right now that I have to stick to. And it's basically how fast you know, these nerve endings are going to come back is basically where we're at.
Absolutely. Well, again, it's great to have head coach Mike Bobo with us here tonight at CBN Potts. We'll take another timeout, and we'll start looking ahead to the season opener coming up on Saturday evening. The Hawaii Rainbow Warriors come into town, a 5:30 kickoff from Canvas Stadium. Back after this on the Colorado State Sports Network. All right, welcome back here to CBN Potts. We're in Fort Collins tonight. The Coors Light, Mike Bobo, Coach's Show, talking some Colorado State Ram football tonight. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams, your host this evening. And if you want to get involved in the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at CSU Rams Radio, and you can ask a football question of
football.
The head coach. Yeah, football. We're getting to football,
football
now. I know. We're going to talk some football for the final 37 minutes of the of the program. Again, the Rams have the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors coming into town here this weekend, and Hawaii dealing with a little adversity themselves, Mike, and I know you have other things going on, but Hurricane Lane is going right at the islands there, and hopefully they're going to be able to get out, and hopefully it takes a different course, and the folks out there on the islands are okay.
I saw that this morning. You know, thoughts and prayers are with the people of Hawaii, the state of Hawaii, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know what time they left, but I'm pretty sure they traveled today.
Okay.
That they were traveling today, and then I think they're going to practice at UNC Thursday and Friday. So I think today was a travel day, so their team probably got out.
Well, can you imagine traveling like the University of Hawaii does? No, we did a trip last year, making the trip out to Oahu and Honolulu. That's a long haul, and these guys are doing it five, six times a year.
I know. I was complaining, like coaches do sometimes, to Coach Rolovich about the trip coming over there and then time, you know, kickoff.
Yep.
And he's like, well, we do it, you know, half the season. We have to travel half the season. You only do it once.
That's right.
He's right. It's a lot that those kids go through, you know, traveling to the mainland. And that's why they got to come a day, you know, 2 days early, 3 days early, really, 3 days. They came today. To try to get acclimated and then go back. I can't imagine, what they go throughout the year.
Yeah, and again, I think they're going back out to the East Coast again this year. They opened up the season last year at UMass.
I mean,
can
That's
you imagine
right.
from Honolulu out to, I think it's Amherst, Massachusetts, and that's a long haul. We're going to touch on the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors in a little more depth in just a little bit, but I want to get your thoughts on the stadium in the second year with the facility, because I remember, you know, you rewind 365 days ago, we were all here, and all the pomp and circumstance that surrounded the stadium. You guys had only been in there about, a month?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just curious about the comfort level of you, your coaching staff, the players. Now
that's a really good question. Obviously, everybody was excited last year, opening the new stadium, the opening game, you know, opening against Oregon State, and you know, our football team really just moved into that stadium right when fall camp started, and you know, really didn't get to use the resources. That's, you know, obviously the stadium is a great venue to watch a game and to play. But it's our facility, too. It's our weight room. It's our training room. It's our nutrition. It's our meeting room. So, you know, we were able to use that this whole offseason when we got back in January. The functionality of our building, you know, has been awesome, where everything's located in a center place right there at Canvas Stadium, all our facilities. So being able to walk out onto the game field and do walkthroughs, walk out on the practice field and practice, where last year we were coming back and forth from Mobi, running over and using the fields,
right,
coming back, using the old weight room. Now we're all been in the same central location the whole offseason, building up through camp. And, you know, it's all, you know, feel like we're at home.
Mm-hmm.
Where last year was almost like a brand new season, a brand new first year head coach, first year trying to figure out everything on the run. You know, but we made it work. It was a great opening day last year, and we're going to try to make it a great opening day this year in Canvas Stadium.
All right, so you guys released the depth chart, I think it was Sunday, And one of the things that really struck me, that depth chart, and we knew you loved your freshman class, and we talked about it in December, talked about it again when you signed a few more in February, but you have a couple true freshmen on defense listed as starters, a couple true freshmen on defense listed as backup, a pair of true freshmen on offense that are on the two deep. You have a lot of kids that have come in, and it looks like they can competed well.
Yeah, we've had some great competition. You know, we've really felt that our freshman class was a strong freshman class, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Two kids that stick out to me right now are Devin Phillips, a nose tackle for us, plays a little bit of three technique. Joctavius Phillips, younger brother, defensive lineman that's really came in and competed. Gave us some great competition there with Ellison Hubbard, and we've actually moved Ellison, you know, to the other tackle and moved Richard King out to an end, which I think is going to help us. We've got some, you know, we've got some size in there on the right defensive line now. Rashard Ajaz, another freshman that has had an outstanding camp as a corner. He's a long corner. He's got really good ball skills. He's got good instincts. Tywan Francis is another freshman that's backing up at nickel for us. We'll see a lot of action on a lot of special teams. Guy that really loves to run and hit. Quinn Brennan, a safety from Oakland, California, has had a great camp. I think this guy's going to continue to improve and have a chance to make a lot of plays for us, not just on defense, on special teams too. That's where you'll see a lot of these freshmen, guys like Malcolm McGee,
right,
freshman safety for us. Guys like Nico Hall is really impressing our special teams coaches with seat time and receiver for us. I'm sure I'm missing some of the guys. I don't have the depth chart in front
right
of me, but
Trey McBride's another
Trey
one
McBride.
Of those
Trey McBride, you know, has done a great job for us on all special teams. He's done a great job at tight end, getting in the mix. And I'm really pleased with all our tight ends. I feel like we got a good tight end group that we'll cultivate throughout this year. That could be something that could be potentially game-breaking for us in the passing game, our tight ends.
You know, you had mentioned Ellison Hubbard, Livingston, Pagofi. Those guys are playing one of those defensive tackle spots. And then Emmanuel Jones on the outside. Those are three guys up defensively up front that they played for as true freshmen for you of a season ago. And how have you seen their progress? And I know Jones, you've moved really kind of from that buck position, but now he's really going to be playing defensive end.
Well, Emmanuel missed spring practice with surgery in his wrist, and it took him a little while to acclimate to the new defensive scheme. But he's the last couple weeks, I feel like he's getting better every day. He's a guy that played a lot of snaps for us. He's put on 25 pounds since last year. He came in and played at 240 last year at the Buck. He's 265 pounds for us. I think he's going to have a chance to have a dominating season for us that he had last year as a freshman. Playing behind Evan Colorado is invaluable. The same for Livy Pagofi and Ellison Hubbard. Livy Pagofi is a guy that we feel like we can swing, can play inside and outside. Ellison's a guy that we can play the two, play the three technique and the nose. So they've got some versatility because they played last year. And you really can't say enough about experience. When guys have been in action, they played in games, they know what it's about, and that's confidence that they gained. When they've been in games last year and they played and their battle tests, that's confidence that they gained is going to carry over to this year.
Do you like the depth along that defensive line, and how many guys do you think you might be rolling coming up on Saturday night? Will we see a rotation of eight guys?
Well, I hopefully eight. You know, I had talked about, you know, as much as 11, 12, maybe 13 in the offseason. We've had some issues there at that position. So I hopefully we can see eight guys, you know, that we want to roll. We got to keep them fresh. We feel like they're going to be a run and shoot team. They're going to be four wides, maybe five wides, and try to spread us out. I'm sure we'll talk about that here in a little bit. So, you know, we got to be fresh. You know, you got a two deep, you got a first string, you got a second string, but you'll maybe see some third stringers. We're going to have to change up our packages, and, you know, we're going to have to do a good job of staying fresh.
Yeah, again, Ram fans are going to see a lot of young kids coming up on Saturday evening, and another talented recruiting class that Mike and his staff have assembled here in Fort Collins. Another timeout upon us tonight from CBN Potts. Stay with us. We'll be back with more of the head football coach at Colorado State. This is the Colorado State Sports Night. A few more segments left tonight as we welcome you back here to the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. We're live in Fort Collins at CBN Potts. The Shops at Foothills. We're going to be here every Wednesday night throughout the course of the season from 7 to 8 p.m. Invite you to come on out and enjoy the atmosphere. Brian Roth back with you along with head coach Mike Bobo. The Rams get the White Rainbow Warriors, not only in the season opener, but the conference opener. The Mountain West coming up on Saturday evening, 5:30 is the kickoff. All right, we are going to go to the Twitter sphere and take a couple of questions from some of the Ram fans out there. And this one is from usually a guy that's a regular here. And
I just asked his dad where he was.
I know. And
taking his daughter to school, right?
Yep, that's right. Down at Grand Canyon University in Phoenix. And his dad asked one of the questions, which I will not ask. I'll ask the other one. And Dave wants to know, what's the status of the offensive line? We lost some good guys there last year. How's it progressing in fall camp?
I feel like we've come along well with the offensive line. Kobe Meeks is a returner that played a lot for us. He will be a center. Tyler Bjorklund, I think he started 7 or 8 games for us last year. Some at tackle and some at guard, will be at left guard. And right guard, Jeff Taylor, is another returner that was an on and off starter for us. And then Ben Knox will be at right tackle, was another on and again starter for us. So that's 4 guys right there that saw a lot of action. Yes, we lost 4 guys that played a lot for us last year with Jake Bennett and Zach Golditz that are going to be hard to replace. But I feel like we got some continuity with the number of guys that we played last year. All 4 of those guys played a lot. And then T.J. Roundtree and Barry Wesley will be playing left tackle. I'm not sure who's going to start yet. I don't know what the depth chart said. I think it said Barry Wesley at left tackle.
It did say Barry, yes.
Barry's kind of a swing guy that can play left and right, play a little guard, left and right tackle, can play a little guard. I think you'll see those 6 for us right now. I don't know if we'll play more than 6 in this first game. We're trying to get up to 8, but right now it's probably going to be 6. Maybe 7, but I would say those 6 right now.
And another Twitter question. Again, offensive line getting some love. This is from that one guy on Twitter. That's his handle. Do you see any issues starting a freshman at left tackle? He's talking about DeBerry Wesley, who, again, was a walk-on, who you guys awarded and earned a scholarship this fall.
Yeah, well, he's a redshirt freshman, so it's his second year in the program. He's gotten stronger. But Barry's a guy that does everything right. He's technically sound. He takes coaching. He does it the way Coach Johnson wants him to do it. I think he'll play a lot with T.J. Roundtree. You get worried a lot, you know, when you're starting a new guy. I mean, if you're starting T.J. Roundtree or Barry Wesley, but they got to go play. It's like I told him today. Today was a preparation practice. We got to go out and work, and the more we prepare, the better we're going to be able to go out and play our game and believe in ourselves and go play. And, you know, we believe in Barry and got trust in Barry and, you know, feel like he's going to play well this game.
All right, now that the offensive line questions are all out of the way, let's get to some other less glamorous positions. This one is from Jerry, and Jerry's asking the status of Colin Hill, the quarterback, heading into Saturday night's game. Of course, most Ram fans know Colin tore the ACL in the same knee that he tore it back in the fall of 2016. He did that in early March of this year, but I know he's been progressing well.
Yeah, Colin has done a nice job. He's worked extremely hard. It's right at, I don't even know if it's 5 months yet. And he was listed as a co-2 on the depth chart. He's been cleared for 11-on-11 action. He hasn't been cleared for contact yet. That'll be something we discuss when we get closer to game time. But, you know, Colin Hill has a bright future for us, and I want to make sure it's a completely healthy before we put him out there and not risk anything. But he's working extremely hard to get back. He had reps today in 11-on-11, and we'll make a decision whether we're going to clear him for contact in this game as we get closer.
All right, speaking of the quarterbacks, K.J. Carter-Samuels is slated to be your starter, at least on the depth chart. Of course, K.J. Is a graduate transfer you guys were able to go out and get. Spent the last 3 years at the University of Washington, threw 47 passes in some limited duty. One of the things, talking to the players and some of your coaches here in the last few weeks, is the way that a kid like K.J., who was around during the spring but wasn't a part of the team, he's been around this summer, the way he's been able to integrate himself as an outsider into this football team and really kind of take on a leadership role.
Well, I just think that shows what kind of young man this guy is. He's a selfless guy. He came in and worked extremely hard. He didn't come in like he was anointed to be the quarterback. He worked. He went to work in the weight room. He went to work in the film room. He went to work, and he's constantly working every day. He knows that he's put himself in position to run out there wearing the green and gold and represent Colorado State. He's excited about that. He wants to play well, you know, for this football team, this fan base, for himself, and he's working extremely hard. I've been so impressed with what a student of the game he is, how he's constantly grinding. The first games all across the country, there are mistakes, and there's going to be some mistakes in this game, and, he's going to have some mistakes, and I think he knows we believe in him, and we're going to go out there and we're going to play, and he's going to play well for us.
Yeah, I know you had mentioned that you had seen him at the facility all summer. I mean, he's in there watching film on his own with the other quarterbacks, but you hadn't seen him throw until the start of fall camp in late July.
Yeah, I told him, I said, we need to get out there and see if you can throw. I know you can study and you understand the game, but I've got to see if you can throw. And he's done a nice job. He's got a few guys out there that can catch the ball. But he's worked extremely hard. He's excited about playing this Saturday, working on finalizing this game plan so he can feel comfortable. Because the big thing is I want him to go out there and relax. I want him to be able to just not overthink things. We can, sometimes as coaches, we make things too complicated. I don't want to do that. I want to make it, it's got to be complicated enough where we got to play against their defense. But I don't want to make it so complicated that he can't relax and play football.
Yeah, you talked about the guys he's throwing to. Of course, you have the guy that you and the coaching staff called the standard. That's senior B.C. Johnson, who has been a solid guy for Colorado State in each of the last 3 years. You get Preston Williams, the transfer from Tennessee, who was with the squad last year and is now eligible to play. And then you have Warren Jackson, a kid who played as a true freshman for you. And he was one of the first guys I noticed when I saw your first practice here this year. I think he grew by an inch.
Yeah.
He put on some pounds. Ryan Davis, your strength coach, said not only did he put on pounds, but he shed some fat. He looks like a monster.
I was kidding him all offseason that we're going to move him to tight end.
he looks like a tight end.
But he's 6'6", and he's kind of transformed his body. He's running extremely well, using his size. And you've got a 6'6 guy in him. You've got a 6'4 guy in Preston Williams. You've got B.C. Johnson that can play the slot and outside, and then you've got some athletic tight ends that I feel good about. But we got some weapons. We got to piece this all together, with the question earlier about the new offensive line and new quarterback, right. And there's going to be some growing pains. But I feel like we've got enough where we're going to be able to grow while we have success and just do a good job of trying to give those guys a chance. And guys like Brendan Fulton, not a lot of guys know this, but I wasn't there to do it in person. I had to make a video, but I was able to put Brendan Fulton on scholarship, a receiver for us. He's a Colorado kid.
Yeah, he's a local kid. Greeley prepped at Northridge High School.
Yep, his dad's a high school coach and is a receiver that's going to play a lot for us. Braxton Davis, our kicker, that's our kickoff guy that kicks it in the end. Another local kid. I was able to put those two kids on scholarship, but – it was always exciting to do. But Brendan Fulton's another guy that's in the receiver mix that's done a great job for us. So, we got to do a good job of figuring out how to get those guys the ball, what KJ can do. I got a good idea of that. And then we got to see what Hawaii's going to do. That's a whole different new coordinator. I mean, we're watching a lot of different tape. So it's going to be kind of a cat and mouse game early on in this game, trying to figure out how they're trying to play defensively and offensively.
Yeah, and we'll get to why here in the next segment. One more thought on the offense and in that offensive backfield. Izzy Matthews is a kid like B.C. Johnson came in, played as a true freshman for you guys, and is now in his senior season. He looks svelte.
Yeah, he looks great.
210 this year. Dropped some pounds.
He looks fast. He looks explosive. I thought last year he did a better job of running with body lean behind his pads. Now he's dropped some weight. He feels like he's in the best shape of his life. He feels like he's ready to have an outstanding season, and we're ready for him to carry the rock. He's got, there's a lot of guys we got to replace off last year's offense. You talk about Daylon Dawkins, just what a threat he was in the run game and the pass game, and Michael Gallup and those linemen. And there's you know, a lot of offense.
Nick Stevens,
you know, those, you know, three all-conference guys right there that we got to replace. And I know there's a lot of opportunity for a lot of guys, and they're excited about getting their chance to have that opportunity to make plays on Saturday. And, you know, I'm excited to see who's going to rise to the occasion. You know, you never know till you get out there and the band's playing and you're on the sideline and, you know, see what the guys are about. That's the fun part about it. You try to put them through as much tests you can through the offseason, through camp. But when the lights are on and the band's playing, I'm excited to see who's going to step up. I think we got some guys that are going to step up. And I think we got some guys that are going to surprise some people as well.
Yep, Ram fans will find out who those guys are coming up Saturday night against Hawaii. One final timeout. We'll be back after this and wrap it up with some talk of the opponents. That's next on the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coach's Show. This evening from CBM Potsport in Fort Collins, the inaugural edition of the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coach's Show tonight. As Colorado State gets set for the season opener coming up on Saturday night against Hawaii, 5:30 is the kickoff. And for those of you that will be joining us on the radio, our tailgate show begins at 3:30, so a two-hour pregame leading up to the kickoff coming up on Saturday. Brian Roth back with the head football coach, Mike Bobo. And again, yeah, Hawaii comes into town. And, strange to see a season opener with a conference foe, but I know Hawaii had contacted you guys, Mike, and asked you if you'd be willing to play that zero-week game, and you guys obliged.
Yeah, it was something that Joe came to me about, I think back in the spring or maybe in January. Didn't know if we were going to get it worked out, but we were able to get it worked out. It's a little bit unusual playing a conference game, but I like that we're going to have a chance to play a conference game this Saturday before we start our tough non-conference schedule. I really like how our schedule sets up. I mean, it's tough with the travel that you have to do in this league, but to play five games, have a bye, play four games, have a bye, and then play three games, I think sets up nice. And, you know, the number one goal right now is to go 1-0 on the season and 1-0 in the conference to get us started off on the right foot.
Yeah, you had mentioned preparation against this Hawaii team. Like you guys, they have a new defensive coordinator. Chris Batoon comes over from Florida Atlantic, where he worked with Lane Kiffin. He was a co-defensive coordinator. Were you guys watching a lot of Florida Atlantic film? How do you prepare for a new defensive coordinator?
Well, it's tough. You know, he is, he's actually been with Lane's brother, Chris Kiffin.
Right. Ole Miss?
When he was at Ole Miss and FAU. Chris is a graduate of Colorado State.
Yeah, he was a defensive lineman here.
A Ram, and the defensive coordinator's with him for 7 years. So watched a lot of FAU, watched a lot of Ole Miss. You know, Chris is the one that's called it, so it's a little bit different. So there's a little bit of unknown. And it was something I talked to the team about today. You know, we're preparing. You know, preparing for today was third down and red zone, offense and defense, even have a plan. But ultimately, it's going to come back to our fundamentals and training. There are going to be certain things that we're going to have to make adjustments in the game. And, you know, we got some young players that hadn't played in some games, and sometimes that's easier said than done. You know, it's a lot easier when you've got an experienced guy that's been 3 years in a system. But I think we're keeping it simple enough where we're going to be able to make some adjustments. You know, we got to come out and, you know, are they going to be three down? Are they going to be four down? Are they playing a quarters coverage? Are they play more of a single high? And that's something we got to kind of feel our way through. But we have rules. You have rules for run checks. You have rules for passing games and your coverages and your concepts. And, you know, you got to stick to your rules. And, you know, sometimes you can plan for things. But ultimately, I always tell guys, hey, just stick to your rules and go back to your habits and you'll be fine.
Yeah, Hawaii is a very good linebacker as well. And Jelani Tavai, where's number 31 for the fans that will be at the game or watching on TV Saturday night, 309 career tackles, preseason All-Mountain West Conference linebacker. So he'll be in the middle for them. All right, on the offensive side of things, they're going to the run and shoot here this season.
That's what they say. They're going to the run and shoot. That's everything you read. It's hard to, you know, there's no film really on the run and shoot. The last time we played the run and shoot, or I did, was
2008, right?
2008 Sugar Bowl. Colt Brennan.
They came in undefeated,
came
University
in undefeated.
Of Hawaii.
Yeah,
Georgia beat them.
We beat them.
Drilled them, actually, right?
Well, we had some good players. and it's a fun game, but you know, it's just, you know, a lot. Everybody says spread and thinks that's the run and shoot, but the run and shoot's a little bit different. You know, a lot of route combinations, back breaking off of coverage. The protection's a little bit different. You see the quarterback half roll. I know that's what Coach Rolovich grew up in, is the run and shoot. We've got a lot of stuff we've studied. We've got a plan for, of playing dime, of playing penny, of keeping our defensive linemen fresh. But it's not a lot of film to watch,
right,
of the run and shoot. And so we're kind of, in a catch-22 here of, offense and defense of what we're preparing for. But so are they a little bit. We got a new defensive coordinator. Yeah. Last time Coach Jansen coordinator was in it when he was at the University of Tennessee. And we're not exactly like he was at the University of Tennessee. So I'm sure they're watching a lot of Tennessee film. They could be going back and watching some Georgia film when he was a co-coordinator. But there's a lot of differences. And then offensively, we're going to be a different team than we were last year. We don't have Nick Stevens. We don't have Daylon Dawkins. So there's going to be some differences in both sides that I think both teams are going to have to fill each other out early.
Yeah. I was talking with your new defensive coordinator, John Jancic, about the run and shoot, and he was a part of that defensive staff in that 2008 game he was mentioning, and said we've dealt with the run and shoot a little bit, but I you just don't know what you're going to get, and who knows what that's going to look like.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's you're playing a spread. It's a spread team, and right. It comes down to matching up in your coverages, doing a good job of covering down and D-lineman because they like to get the ball out quick. So you got to cover down, you got to run to the ball, you got to tackle. And you got to make them snap it again and not try to give up big plays when you're playing a run and shoot team. So being able to substitute guys, being able to have depth, I think will help us. And we got to be comfortable as coaches to play those young guys. We got to get them out there. And they might make some mistakes, but we got to play them because we got to stay fresh. And we got to do a good job offensively of helping the defense by controlling the ball.
Yeah, and we should say with the University of Hawaii, they have some unknowns at the quarterback position as well, not only a new offense, but they still have not announced who their starting quarterback is. Maybe Coach Rolovich has called you and told you who's starting.
He wasn't going to release his depth chart, so I had to text him the other day and said, hey, I released my depth chart from the hospital, so you think you can release your depth chart?
How do you come back from that?
I'm not going to say what he said. He did release it. But, yeah, there's a little uncertainty there, from what the little cat and mouse that Coach Rolovich is playing.
But, and he's the guy you get along with.
I do.
Right?
He's a great guy. He's a great guy, great coach, and I'm excited about playing him and his football team. It'll be a good challenge for us.
All right, Mike. Well, listen, best of luck coming up on Saturday night. And really more important to that, so great to have you back and out of the hospital. I know I speak for Ram Nation, everybody here listening and in this room. Welcome back.
Yeah, excited to be back.
All right, that's Mike Bobo. We're done with tonight. Thanks for joining us on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield.
Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Also